When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. I'm your host, Eric Steven. With me today is Jacob Birch because it is a Dodgers rewind day. Today, we look back at Jack Fimple, who is a rookie thrust into literally everyday duty on a division-winning Dodgers team. Jacob, before I start, what do you know anything about Jack Fimple? Or what do you know about Jack Fimple?
I know he was drafted by Cleveland in the 29th. It's the first line of your show notes. That's what I know.
That'd be hilarious. You're like, you didn't have
I just
open.
Give the full segment and you're like, oh, wow.
All right, we'll see you next week. No, see you tomorrow, I guess. No, so Jack Fimple, there's a couple interesting things. So drafted by Cleveland, 29th round, 1980. He was signed and discovered by scout Mel Didier, then for Cleveland. Didier, as you might remember, is more famous, at least for during his Dodgers days, after he came over a few years later. He famously delivered the line in the advanced scouting of the A's before the 88 World Series about Dennis Eckersley getting into a full count. This has been, like, repeated over and over again, and there's probably, like, different variations, but everyone always does an impression of the first part where he says, "Partner, sure as I'm standing here breathing, you're going to see a 3-2 backdoor slider." And that's it's always fun to watch the replay of the home run because after the count gets full Kirk Gibson, he's like getting ready and then he backs out. And like that's the point where he's thinking about that scouting report. And it's always fun to like think exactly what's in his head at that moment. And it's always a fun thing. But Fimple came to the Dodgers after Rick Sutcliffe asked to be traded following the 81 season. This was after Sutcliffe trashed Lasorda's office when he wasn't going to make the postseason roster that year. Sutcliffe, second baseman Jack Percante, who had fallen behind Steve Sachs in the young second base sort of pecking order, went to Cleveland for veteran outfielder Jorge Horta, who was almost a DH at this point, but again, no DH in the National League. Pitcher Larry White and Jack Fimple. Fimple ended up playing parts of three seasons with the Dodgers. My trivia for you regarding Jack Fimple, his last start with the Dodgers, again, he was a catcher, came July 10th, 1986, against the Cubs at Dodger Stadium. Who was the starting and winning pitcher throwing to Fimple? It's the same person. I'm not asking you to name.
Give me two names. All right. Yeah, I'll think about that. Well, you regale me with much to know about Mr. Fimple.
So 3 years earlier, 1983, catching was very much like in flux. Now, the 80s, you think of like Mike Socha, pretty much a Dodgers like mainstay. But at this time, Socha was like this. He's 2 years in. He had a bad year in 82. He hit 219 with like a 598 OPS. No one knew what OPS plus, or nobody knew what OPS was, but like he was not very good. He was only 23, great defensively, but like the Dodgers were looking to upgrade. The Dodgers had a deal the winter meetings in December 1982 to acquire Jim Sundberg, who was a multi-time All-Star from the Rangers. A deal was agreed to. Bert Hooten, pitcher for the Dodgers, longtime pitcher, outfielder Mark Bradley, Dave Stewart, who had pitched in the majors for a few years by then, and a minor leaguer by the name of Oral Hershiser were headed to the Rangers for Sundberg, but the deal fell through. He had an 8-year contract, and he wanted it reduced to 4 years, which would have meant he only would have been a Dodger for 1 year, and the Dodgers refused to do that, so it killed the deal. Socha starts the year in 83, catcher, but he injured his shoulder on May 15th. He ended up needing rotator cuff surgery, which later in the season, which, he didn't play again that year. Steve Yeager, who was 34 and with the team for over a decade, He took over regular catching duties, but he was like backed up by 19-year-old Gilberto Reyes and Dave Sachs, who is Steve's brother, started behind the plate one game two. The Dodgers called up Fimple on July 30th to back up Yeager. He caught the last two innings of a blowout loss in San Francisco the first night. The next day they had a doubleheader. Yeager started the first game and then broke his wrist on a hit by pitch, and he ended up missing 4 weeks. This was what Tommy Lasorda said Sports Illustrated in later that year. I lost both catchers and had to go with two kids who'd never caught a day in the majors. He didn't say it in the article there, but that's Fimple and Gilberto Reyes at this point. In the same week, I had to tell each member of my double play combination, this was Bill Russell and Steve Sachs, that his father died. I lost my left-handed relief pitcher, Steve Howe, for over a month to drug rehabilitation. One of my left-handers, Jerry Royce, didn't win for 2 months, and one of those months, the other left-hander, Fernando Valenzuela, didn't win either. My left fielder, Dusty Baker, is having an off year, and my second baseman has a hard time throwing to first base. Now, what are the odds of all that happening in the same season? And keep in mind, this was a division-winning year for the Dodgers. This was also the first, I believe, the first year for Manager of the Year, the Manager of the Year award happened, and Lasorda did win it that year. Just as an aside, I think I've mentioned this in the comments, but not on the podcast, but I am, for the first time, I am voting this year for a BBWAA award, and it's the National League Manager of the Year. So
that's exciting.
The hardest one to define, so I'm terrified of how it's going to happen. So, yeah, looking forward to that. But back to Fimple for a second. Maybe there's no narratives like the Lasorda one, the one that Lasorda painted there. But Fimple came in for Yeager to finish that game when he broke his wrist. And then he started the next 24 games in a row. Just again, never been in the majors before? No problem. You're our starter now. On July 31st, in the first game of that doubleheader, after taking over for Yeager, Fimple singled in the ninth and scored the winning run. He had two hits, including a double in the second game. That was his first ever start. He doubled home two runs in a win over the Reds 3 days later. Within the same week, he had a double and a triple and scored twice in a win over Atlanta. He hit his first home run on August 9th at Riverfront Stadium against Mario Soto. And then from the San Bernardino Sun, after Fimple got his 10th RBI in his first 23 games, they said they're calling it Fimple Fever. we'll see how much that fever spread after the break. So the next two Dodgers media guides referred to Fimple's 1983 as, quote, a dream season. And in many ways it was. He was 24 years old, and his 80 games for AAA that year were his only career games above Class A to that point. Even after Yeager came back, and he was still occasionally hurt, Fimple started more games than him. Fimple started 48 of the last 61 games at catcher. He hit his second home run that year, again in Cincinnati, but also did so with a hairline fracture of his right wrist. He hit 250, 300, 358, 82 OPS plus in 167 plate appearances. Perfectly fine numbers for a backup catcher, but he just happened to be playing every day. He started two of the four games in the NLCS against the Phillies. He went 1-for-7 with an RBI. The Dodgers lost that series in four games. The next three seasons, Fimple was mostly in the minors. He only played 25 games in the majors. He had elbow surgery to repair a UCL after the 84 season. He spent all of 1985 in AAA. During spring training in 1985, I did a double take when I saw this. The Dodgers were in discussions with the Phillies to acquire Mike Schmidt, who was entering his age 35 year. Philly wanted Bob Welch, Tom Niedenfuhr, Fimple, Sid Bream, and outfielder Ralph Bryant. And this is from the UPI report of that trade. The transaction is apparently hinging on the power-hitting Bryant, whom the Dodgers want to keep. Bryant, 23, hit 300 at San Antonio of the Texas League with 31 homers and 86 runs batted in 115 games last year, his fourth season in pro ball. Now, the deal didn't happen. On its face, you're like, really? They didn't get Mike Schmidt because they wanted to keep Ralph Bryant? Because think of it. Like, how many Dodger fans know who Ralph Bryant is right now, right? Mm-hmm. He did hit pretty well with the Dodgers when he came up, but he barely played. He played 79 total games. And from 85 to 87, he hit 8 home runs in 169 plate appearances, so he was pretty good. He ended up going to Japan in 1988, and he hit 259 homers in 8 years for Kintetsu, including seasons of 49 and 42 home runs. So he did have power. Like, they weren't lying about that. But Mike Schmidt, for the next 3 seasons, 85 to 87, he averaged 35 homers, 108 RBIs, and 148 OPS plus. And the Dodgers were sort of searching for a third baseman during that time. That's rough. So let's get back to Jack Pimple. The question was, July 10th, 1986, against the Cubs at Dodger Stadium, who was the starting and winning pitcher in that game?
All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to say 2 names. They are, I think, the most obvious names for someone like me to answer. And if they're wrong, they're wrong, and I'm gonna move on with my life.
Just before you guys, you're saying, thinking of 1986 Dodgers, like,
yeah,
roughly,
yeah,
that era. Yeah,
who's, exactly. who start games as pitchers.
Yeah.
Oral Hershiser.
We got, that's right. I was actually distracted by the losing. You want to take a stab who the losing pitcher was?
No, I'm not naming an eight.
I will say this. I'll give you one hint as to the losing pitcher. So 86 was this pitcher's rookie year. Okay. This pitcher's last season in the majors was 2012.
this is Jamie Moyer.
Yes.
Hey.
See?
I had no idea he was a Cub.
Yeah, he started with them. So you named Hershiser. I have an idea who your second guess was, but go ahead and tell me.
It was Fernando.
Yep. So after the 86 season.
Because what happens after that, to be clear, is there's like a list. I have an additional list of 80s-ish mid to late 80s starting pitchers, but I don't remember which one is 86 or, you know, right. And then you're going to be like, he didn't pitch in 86.
Yeah, he wasn't in 86.
You moron.
Jerry Royce wasn't even around then, dork. Like,
Jamie Moyer, like the 86, 85 games with the Cubs, something like that. So,
yeah, so 85. That's nice. You did well on that. But so after 86, he signed with the Angels. He only played in 13 more games in the majors, went 2-for-10. That was his last year. Pimple, in parts of 4 major league seasons, a total 92 games, he hit 228, 292, 315, a 70 OPS plus. He was known more as a defensive catcher, and it kind of showed. He did throw out runners at an above average rate in all 4 of his seasons. Yeah, for his career, he threw out 42% of runners compared to 32% for the league. So he was pretty good, like, or at least I knew of him. He's in the blind spot for me in that I started fully following baseball in like 85. It was like partial in 84. And then at some point in 85 or so, after I started collecting baseball cards, I got a box of cards from my brothers from, like, it was 1974 to 1980 tops. So, like, my blind spot for, like, baseball stuff in that era was like 81 to like 84, or, like, you know. And so I don't know. It's just, some of those guys fell through the cracks. I knew of the name Jack Pimple. I didn't know much about him, but, like, looking it up, like, it was just kind of funny how he was sort of regarded. I had forgotten how long he played for that. He didn't play that much in those other games, but yeah, that's sort of the point of these. Like, I'm learning about it. You're learning about it. Everyone has who watch baseball all the time might have a Jack Pimple memory. So it was a nice little, it was a bright shining moment for a while. And that's, you know, we love that about baseball sometimes, but that is our Dodgers Rewind episode for today. Thank you for listening to Leading Off with True Blue LA, and we will talk to you tomorrow.